self sitting before you.
Is he sitting?
I'm not worthy to be here.
Five,
two. Many times people say this. The reality is in my heart of hearts, I am not worthy to be sitting and speaking to no person. I myself in my own heart, however, as per the request of our seniors, our satisa, our ulama, there is definitely without doubt a responsibility that prevails upon the ummah. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in His divine system, in His divine wisdom, to raise such people that will be able to bring light to the different fitan that the ummah is facing. And amongst them, as many of you may have seen the post that was out, the topic of discussion would have been vices on your devices. Addiction, problems and its remedies. This would then inculcate every faculty of addiction, whether it be drugs or substance abuse, whether it be pharmaceuticals, whether it be pornography, whether it be screen time, whether it be WhatsApp addiction, many different spheres of addiction that have encompassed the ummah as a whole. And by being forehand and on the forefront of the ground, seeing the amount of people that are going out of the fold of Islam, it has become an utmost importance to make sure that we raise an awareness on the following subjects that will be discussed. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So before we officially start, inshallah, I have with me Brother Ahmed Esop Hassan, who is a member of Darul Islah Spiritual Reformation and Wellness Center, and by his right also one of the founding members of the Islah Center. Together with that also he is an acupuncturist by profession, but he is also a drug trauma counselor. So understanding the different levels of addiction, as we mentioned, in whatever criteria it may fall, explaining it from an aspect of understanding the neuroscience behind it, how it works and why it keeps bringing a person back. We will shed some light inshallah on that topic, and then thereafter we will continue. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala accept.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. First and foremost, we are honored and privileged to share tonight with you. We are not worthy. I'm not worthy to be here. And I thank you. This, tonight's topic is something that, you know, doesn't get discussed and doesn't get the attention it deserves, which is the dangers of excessive screen time. And the reality of it, and the fitna that comes along with it. We're in the middle of something that doesn't get talked about enough. Kids are spending more and more time on the screens than ever before. And it's quietly changing the brains and the body and the way it works. This isn't about blaming parents or saying screens are bad. It's about understanding that a developing brain and body wasn't designed for constant stimulation, for instant rewards, and for endless dopamine hits. Every scroll, every meme you like, every 1 minute video you share. Every time bursts of rewards are given to your brain, endless dopamine hits. Dopamine isn't the problem. it what helps kids and adults feel motivated and engaged. This issue is when the brain gets most of its dopamine from screens. Real life gets real harder then. That's when we notice short fuses, poor focus, emotional ups and downs, sleep issues, kids and adults alike, seem wired, but totally dysregulated. It looks like a behavioral problem, but in fact, these symptoms are not just behavioral problems, they are nervous system problems. It's a nervous system that never gets to settle and to calm down. Our brains are adapting to what they are exposed to. If we think about it, the time that is spent on screen time, just some scary statistics. Sorry about that. Some scary statistics. If you are spending between 1 and 3 hours per day on screen time, this is what your body is feeling. It feels normal, and normal in inverted commas. Subtle attention issues. Mild regulation changes. And early signs are easily brushed off. 1 to 3 hours per day. What is the average that the WHO has recognized as your daily consumption on screen? Daily consumption has been stated to be an average of 5 hours a day. This is for kids. Kids aged between 6 and 16 years old. Now 3 to 5 hours per day. A clear turning point. Disrupted sleep. Emotional outbursts. Growing regulation struggles. Irritability. More attention issues. And screens beginning to replace life. What do we mean by screens beginning to replace life? Very, very simple. If you were that kid who would enjoy being outside kicking a ball, that now gets replaced by screen time. Enjoyed playing basketball, gets replaced by screen time. Yeah? Enjoyed socializing, gets replaced by screen time. Let's look at an average of 5 to 7 hours. Addiction starts. 5 to 7 hours. Per day, addiction starts. Mere simple efforts start compounding. Increased anxiety, reduced emotional resilience, exercise slows down. Calm on screens and total disruption of screens. Scare effects. So where your calmness is now replaced by screen time. And when you're off your screen, you are totally dysregulated, disruptive, irritable, anxiety. Very scary effects. The encouraging part is that the brains are flexible. When screen time goes down, and things like movement, play, sensory input, and connection goes up, we often see improvements. But that doesn't stop there. If you're using your screens for more than 5 to 7 hours, you're going to need something called a digital detox. What do we mean by that digital detox? Any ideas?
Any takers? Digital detox? This is complete abstinence from your screens. For a minimum, and it starts with a minimum of a day a week. Complete digital detox. This is not delayed access. This is a must. Why movement? Movement creates serotonin, dopamine, and endorphins. No movement, no supply. What does science say about this? Our brain chemistry is getting weaker. Nothing feels worth getting up anymore. That's not attitude, that's brain chemistry. Reports suggest that 89% of gamers who are on daily screen time suffer from depression. Depression, 89% of gamers. That same 5 to 7 hour user falls into the exact same category of 89% going to be a depressed person. A child's brain before 13 is wiring. It's wiring its impulse control, its emotional safety, and its identity. Smartphones have hijacked this dopamine that's required before these symptoms have even matured. Allah says, tell believing men to lower their gaze. Why? Why? The eyes train the heart. Repeated reels fueled by algorithms. Repeated reels fueled by algorithms activates mental imagery, comparisons, which leads to dissatisfaction and weakens inner restraints. What are those inner restraints? Our nerves. All these reshape the mind. Science calls this visual stimuli. What does Islam call this? Islam cuts the loop before it even begins. And that's with the gaze. So guard your gaze. That's where it stops. Men who guard their gazes develop haya. That is inner dignity. It calms emotional states. And this is character training. Protects your mind, purifies your heart, elevates your ibadah just by lowering your gaze. So what we're saying, lowering your gaze is just not for the outside. It's for that screen time as well. I will leave you with this last few words. Guard your eyes, and Allah will guard your heart, inshallah. Jazakallah.
Recite Durood Sharif, inshallah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad adada ma fi ilmillah. صلاة دائمة بدوام ملك الله وأحسن منك لم تر قط عيني وأجمل منك لم تلد النساء خلقت مبرأ من كل عيب كأنك قد خلقت كما تشاء اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا تكونوا كالذين نسوا الله فأنساهم أنفسهم أولئك هم الفاسقون لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن ابتغى الشبهات استبرأ لدينه وعرضه ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يوشك أن يرتع فيه ألا وإن لكل ملك حمل ألا وإن حمى الله تعالى محارمه ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله ألا وهي القلب رواه البخاري ومسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين أما بعد الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله It is the great fadl, karam and ihsan of Allah تبارك وتعالى that being who created us, fashioned us, molded us and made us from amongst the best of creation. It is Allah's infinite wisdom, kindness, love and ihsan upon us that thereafter Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made us Bani Adam. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala blessed us with the ni'mat of Iman and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made us amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa taslim. Ulama mentioned that if a person daily takes out some time and expresses gratitude to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for five things, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will increase this person in the ability to excessively express gratitude unto Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. And amongst these five things ulama have written, the first of which is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala made us Bani Adam. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا Bani Adam. This is a very great bounty and ni'mat Allah has gifted us. But in the very same breath Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala makes mention and alludes to the fact in the Quran Sharif that أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ This very same insan that Allah can take him to a level where he can become the special friend and beloved of Allah through his different choices and outlets in his life if he can become also worse than that of an animal also. This is the system of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The second of which is ulama mentioned that the greatest ni'mat and bounty is that Allah gifted us with the ni'mat of Iman. Come the day of Qiyamah, a person will have truly understood what is this Iman? The deciding factor between whether a person will be from the inmates of Jannah or from the inmates of Jahannam is based on this criterion that a person is a bearer of the kalima la ilaha illallah. Thereafter Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gifted us with and blessed us and made us amongst the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. But the next two, one is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we should make shukr that Allah kept our rozi only in the hands of Allah. It is not in the hands of that shop, it is not in the hands of your employer, it is not in the hands of your bank account. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ We have seen and we continue to see how Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala looks after that person on the street. Allah sees to every one of his creation with or without any intizam and effort from their side. This is the system of Allah. The first ulama mentioned is that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has concealed mine and your faults. It's mentioned, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi, Zuma Yusuf Mutala Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions this incident in his kitab. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give him jazai khair. He spent a lot of time in the company of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi. But he would go on to write that there were moments when we would come and sit in the company of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi in such ta'alluq between Shaykh and Murid that we would feel afraid and we would even begin to read the dua, Allahumma astur awratina wa amin rawatina. Because such a ta'alluq he had, he was able, Allah gave him, that looking at the demeanor and the behavior of a person, he was able to ascertain exactly what that person's spiritual maladies were. And he would make his islah on the spot. So one of the great ni'mats and bounties is that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala concealed mine and your faults. However, gunas in today's time are such that al-khamru jumma'ul ism. One is regarding intoxication. It is something that idha fataka al-haya faf'al ma shi'it. One occasion, Imam Shu'bah rahmatullah alayhi was a great muhaddith in his zamana. He was moving with his entire qafla and they were going en route towards Dars. So a man by the name of Muhammad bin Maslama, he was relaxing with a few of his friends. They were sitting down, reclining against the wall. And they were indulging in sharab, in intoxication, in drink, wine. So he was known to be one of the alcoholics of that zamana. So he started sitting with his friends, asking the question, who is this man? See, this man is walking here and he got all his people following. Who is this person? This is the great muhaddith of this zamana. People flock towards him from all corners of the world to learn ahadith sharif from him. So Muhammad bin Maslama said, what are you talking? Let me go and see. So he went in front of the entire qafla and he stopped the camel. He said, I hear these people tell me you narrate hadith. So narrate to me one hadith. So Imam Shu'bah rahmatullah alayhi in that instance immediately, one is the man was in a state of intoxication and smelling of sharab and alcohol. The second is he himself was mounted on a camel and such a level of respect for the ahadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Allah tabar wa ta'ala took such great work from these people also. And as students we should always remember this, that adab is something that will take a person extremely far in his life. So he said, I can't narrate hadith sharif to you, you're on the ground, I'm on the camel. So he took out his knife. Muhammad bin Maslama took out his knife and he threatened Imam Shu'bah rahmatullah alayh. And he said that if you don't narrate to me, then I will kill you. So Imam Shu'bah rahmatullah alayh narrated the hadith sharif, إِذَا فَاتَكَ الْحَيَاةِ فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتْ or فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتْ. And immediately at that juncture, Muhammad bin Maslama rahmatullah alayhi now fell unconscious. His friends rushed him home. He comes home to his mother, bathed him, slept. Morning he wakes up, he takes another fresh ghusl. He tells his mother, I have decided now to go and study the deen of Allah. This one gaze of the friend of Allah fell on the heart of Imam Muhammad bin Maslama rahmatullah alayhi. In such a condition, he becomes later the ustad of Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh. So why we mention this incident? Many a times it is that a person that is caught up in some guna, you and I, what is our stance on that person? Many a time we look at them with the eye of neglect. And often it is that this comes in our minds and our heart that this person will never reform. However, it is very, very famous of great, great Ahlullah where they were and where they became. But the level on the journey to becoming the beloved of Allah starts with a realization within a person. So the reason why we had mentioned this incident is obviously for that person who is caught up in some addiction problem, whether it be drug addiction, whether it be pornography addiction, whether it be gambling, whether it be masturbation, whether it be taking riya and interest, whether it be being abusive to his household, his wife, his children, many, many different vices and addictions a person may be caught up in. But there are some, as we mentioned in the beginning, because of the norm of society and the stigma that is attached to it, such people in the court of Allah and in the such people in the court and the eyes of people become write-offs due to the guna that they are committing. Many incidents we hear, great, great people, that they question us as to why it is we are doing this work. Sometimes we hear statements that, Maulana, why are you wasting your time? You know, these people, all they write-offs, they'll never come right. When we look in the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, who they were yesterday, spending time in the company of the Nabi of Allah, that today we say, radiallahu anhum wa radu'an. What a level Allah had given them. But it would have to take a person in the doldrums of filth and dirt to be able to realize that within him lies a strength. That if I have to tap into that strength, then yesterday I was the enemy of Allah. Today I will become the beloved of Allah. On one occasion, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu was salam made dua to Allah. So he said, oh Allah, but inform me who is the worst person from my tribe, from my community. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told him, oh Musa, when you leave your home, the first person your eyes will fall on, this is the worst person from your community. So he leaves his home and his eyes fall on a man who is carrying his child and route towards the woods to cut some wood. So he understands this is the decree of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He moves on, he continues his task for the day. Upon his return, he makes dua again to Allah. He says, oh Allah, show me who is the best person from my locality. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, oh Musa, the first person your eyes will fall on is the best person. Lo and behold, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's eyes fall on the very same person we had seen in the morning. Not understanding this, being a bit perplexed, but being a Nabi of Allah, understanding it, the command of Allah. Later that night, he makes dua to Allah, asking Allah, what is the reason behind this? Allah tabarahu wa ta'ala mentions to him, O Musa, when this man left his home and he went into the woods. He was with his child, and his child, being inquisitive as is the nature of children, began to ask him certain questions. Then, oh my father, tell me, is there anything bigger than this forest? He says, oh my son, the mountains. He says, anything bigger than the mountains? He says, my son, the skies. He says, oh my beloved father, is there anything bigger than the skies also? This father, with tears in his heart, tears in his eyes and a murmur in his voice, says, oh my beloved son, my sins, my gunas. So not being understanding and of age, he asks again, and oh my father, is there anything bigger than your gunas also? So this person says, oh my beloved son, Allah's mercy. By the mere recognition of the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah took him from being the worst person and Allah elevated him to becoming the best of people. Many a times it is that you and I look at the person who is caught up in some guna, and in our hearts we term this person as a write-off. Tomorrow Allah can make it that person, that very same person, can become a means to take other people out of filth and dirt. But we should never look at a person with the eyes of being a write-off. Imam Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah alayhi, a famous incident is mentioned on him, was a very well-known alcoholic in his time. So one day he was sitting, and he was indulged in his intoxication, with his child sitting next to him. He had a little girl whom he loved dearly. So, whenever Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi would pick up the alcohol to drink, his small little child would hit that alcohol out of his hand. Until one day Allah's decree had come, and Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi's little daughter returned to the mercy of Allah. That night Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi sees in a dream. that he's being chased and pursued by a serpent, a large snake. And everywhere he's trying to move, he's not getting any savior. Until eventually he comes to a young man, handsome looking. He asks him for help. Man says, I'm unable to help you against the snake. Go further. He moves on further and he comes to the valley of Jahannam. On the top he looks down and he sees Jahannam. He hears a voice from Jahannam saying, this is not your abode, return. He turns back again in the same direction and begins running. Again he comes to the man and he asks for help. The man says, continue, you will find a hill ahead. I'm unable to help you. As he comes forward, he finds a hillock. On the hillock he finds Malaika standing. And he finds a tent with pearls. And he finds little children coming towards the edge of that tent. And then he sees in the distance his beautiful little child. This child comes to him in his dream, sits on the lap of Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi and begins to recite the ayat, أَلَمْ يَأَنِنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَأَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Has the time not come for you and I to turn back to Allah? The crux of the ayat. There is the time not come for us to make ruju and come back to Allah. Last night was the night of Laylatul Bara'ah. How many of us made introspection and looked in myself that Allah, what is my halat and my condition? How many of us capitalized on these opportune moments? Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah alayhi at that instance makes a decision in his life. He then goes on to study and become one of the greatest Sufis of that zamana, meaning the special friends of Allah. That today his stories are mentioned in many, many kitabs. And you and I can take ibrat and a lesson from it. But what was it that took him back to Allah? In his heart lay the recognition of Allah that brought him back to Allah. Any person, whether he is caught up in any guna, whether he is watching pornography, whether he is masturbating, whether he is indulging in intoxication and drug abuse, in the heart of hearts of that person, he hates what he is doing and he has hope in Allah that Allah will take him out. But you and I on the other side look at that person and turn a blind eye. But what is this addiction? Many a times we ask the question that why is it that this person will go into a rehabilitation facility or he'll make tawbah, he'll say I'm no more watching pornography or he'll come out of his masturbation and then 2 days, 3 days later he'll go out in the path of Allah, he'll come back, put a smartphone in his hand, he relapses. A man goes into rehab, he comes back, putting him in the company of the same friends, he relapses. What is that unimaginable pull that is taking people away from Allah? So this is one crucial aspect that many of us have looked past. One important thing of Darul Islah Spiritual Reformation and Wellness Center is that the body, the life and the soul of this program is to inculcate the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam back into that person. In the early 1940s, in 1948 to be quite exact, there was a man by the name of Dr. Alfred Kenzie. Dr. Alfred Kenzie at that time himself was an atheist, but he had ventured into a lot of modern ideologies. So, amongst the modern ideologies at that time, we're talking in 1948, he had tried to introduce a woman being nude or openly and explicitly showing herself towards the tabloids. At that time, there was no World Wide Web or what you will know today is www. There was barely any radio stations, so there was the tabloids. By and large, people used newspapers. So he introduced it to the influential people of different countries and states.
And he presented to them a marketing strategy wherein to boost the influx of the tabloid, they would have to put a nude woman on the cover or somewhere in the tabloid. And that they had seen within a couple of months, the influx rate had went approximately 100 to 200% up. So this exact same ideology, fast forward to 1993, the introduction of the World Wide Web then came onto the scene. When this came onto the scene, the very same ideology was now introduced. And that ideology is what we see in today's time known as pornography. For a brief understanding for you and me to understand what is pornography. We use the term, we openly discuss it, we sit with our friends, we visit the sites. Pornography actually is a makeup of two Latin words which is called pornographine. Pornographine, which actually means to take a woman and advertise her to the public and take away her chastity. So this is the literal meaning of pornographine. Later statistics would have shown. We will come to the Islamic statistics now and how it is hitting our madaris, the Darul Ulooms, and affecting people by and large. Out of every 5 people, 3 get addicted to pornography. Between the ages of 8 to 12, 78% of children have already viewed online content. And out of that 78% of children, 3 of them continue to watch. 68% of divorce cases are linked directly to pornography addiction and erectile dysfunction. That means that a man is watching pornography, he's masturbating, he's continuously looking at this haram. Uncle Ahmad mentioned, "Nadratu nadrun min sihami iblis masmumun. Man tarakaha makhafati abdaltaha imanan yajidu halawatahu fi qalbi." That the nadr of shaitan, That gaze you will look at a woman is not just a gaze, but it's from the poisonous arrows of shaitan. Ulama would go on to explain why the Hadith Sharif mentions an arrow of shaitan being poisonous. Because if a man has to go hunting and he is to fire an arrow and not hit in a point where he is able to decapitate or take the life of that animal, then that arrow is of no use. But as soon as he dips it in some poison, if he hits anywhere on the body, whether it's 1 month, 2 months, couple of hours down the line, eventually the poison will make its way into the bloodstream, and due to the defecation of that poison, that animal will then succumb to death. In the very same manner that gaze, looking, we look at it as something that is not harmful. Scrolling through my phone, going on Instagram, going on TikTok, going on YouTube. And then these pop-ups come and I looked and it's nothing. I'm sitting in dirt. I got it under my desk. It's nothing. I scroll past it. But the arrow of shaitan is a poisonous arrow. It may not affect me now, but 1 week, 2 weeks, maybe I might pass my entire alim course. I get the sanad also. I get my dastarbandi. I go on to become a mufti. But later on in my life, the poison of that gaze will come back to affect me. This is the system of the Dajjali system and how it has worked. So nevertheless, this man, Dr. Alfred Kenzie, after introducing this, pornography became a worldwide phenomenon. From what you and I will know, the worldwide web constitutes only 4% of the entire web. Another 96% is what we call the dark web. The dark web is something which is very evil and filthy. But from this, a total of 235,000 new porn visits every second. Daily, over 3.1 million new porn visits daily. It has become a multi-million dollar industry. But why the unimaginable pull? When we go on and look, in the early 1960s, a man by the name of Anton LaVoyant, he had founded the first Satanic Church. The Satanic Church and the purpose of the Satanic Church was to take people away from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Fast forward a couple of years. The late 1960s, he goes on to found the first Satanic Bible. In today's time, it is known as the LaVoyant Order. The LaVoyant Order, if you go up and look it up, it is something that is found in all common and normal day science. So the LaVoyant Order constitutes of 11 doctrines. From the 11 doctrines, there are a few that really stand out and make you wonder as to why it is that the New World Order and the things of the New World Order are something that encapsulate the mind and the heart and take a person very far away from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So from them he had mentioned that it is incumbent upon a person who takes up the LaVoyant Order to believe wholeheartedly in magic and sihr and to take as his confidant any extraterrestrial help. So what we would know in today's time is jinnat. To summon the help of it, jinnat, through magic and to wholeheartedly believe in it. He was then asked the question in 1973. So he published this article in a few tabloids. It's very hard to get hold of, obviously, because the Illuminati had made sure they got rid of it. But they are still there. If you go out onto the dark web, you will still find them. So of these articles, the question was asked, what is the link between Satanism and pornography? What is the link between Satanism and drug addiction? So he had mentioned that the link between the two is that we who are, meaning them, who are traversing the path in Satanism, utilize substances and pornography or loose women to elevate their status. And for the layman, which is you and I, who take to all types of these vices, it has become a modus operandi of enslavement of the mind and the heart. So when we further looked into it, we came to understand that actually Satanism was broken up into three categories. The three categories were atheistic Satanism, and personal Satanism. Now many a time, many of us don't understand this. We go into science, we go into school, we go into secularism, we don't understand, we're studying something, they say no, it's got nothing to do with Satanists, we've just taken out God in its entirety and we believe in molecules, etc. We'll touch on that aspect. But when we looked into it, in hindsight, actually, theistic Satanism is where a man takes Shaitan as his God direct. Atheistic Satanism is where a man negates the doing of a creator entirely. But atheistic Satanism is linked to theistic Satanism. They then found that through theistic Satanism, they were unable to encapsulate the minds of people. They introduced atheistic Satanism. This, by and large, we see today in our secular, in our schools, in our education systems, online systems, etc. They then found that this also was not really encapsulating the minds and hearts of people. They then introduced another branch of the Satanism, which is called personal Satanism. Personal Satanism to you and I basically is what would we would term in our terms as being obedient to your nafs and shaitan. So having the free will and the free mind to do whatever you want and not facing any consequence or outcome for your action. So many of these actions are such that we are seeing on a daily basis. I will bring to you something that we have come across very recently. And it is important for you and I to open our eyes. One is we understand the pornography, we understand the pornography addiction and the amount of people that are caught up in pornography addiction. We will give the remedies and inshallah it will become a means to take us out of it. We will touch on the drug aspect, but while we are speaking on screen time and the phone, there is a new fitna that is out. And this fitna is taking the Hifz boys and the Alim boys by storm. It is something that you and I would call, for lack of a better term, catfishing. So catfishing basically is something where a man poses as a woman on Instagram, on social media, and we can see all the boys already nodding their heads. So you'll see a bombshell example. And all of a sudden, me, Maulana, I'm sitting in madrasa and I'm studying and I'm in my kitabs and all of a sudden I got a message from this girl. And she uses some nice Muslim name and Muslim surname. And then all of a sudden, this girl is messaging me now on Instagram and she started following me. But meanwhile, this girl knows so much about me that I become so encapsulated and caught up. She knows my father. She knows my mother. She knows that I'm studying the Deen of Allah. She becomes so happy and taken aback that I'm studying the Deen of Allah that she starts to encourage me in continuing my studies. And we have seen this with a number of people, of a person or a group of people or a syndicate that are doing a thing which is called catfishing. So they'll catfish one person, then they'll have this youngster send him nude pics. After he sends him nude pics, they will then blackmail him and say, right, listen, I know your stud. I know where you're studying. I'm going to expose you. If a man is watching pornography or he's taking drugs, he's hiding away, he's doing it, he's going to make tawbah, he's going to come out of it. Drug addiction, eventually, somewhere, people know there's drugs available, people know. But now, when it comes to a man's haya, and knowing that there is some nude pictures of me surfacing the web and in the hands of somebody that is now blackmailing me. This person then goes on to blackmail. We're dealing with a severe case now at the moment, which a number of people have been catfished by the same person, going under different names. So we won't mention the names, otherwise you'll go on Instagram and look it up. And they're catching our local boys. They're catching boys from Darul Ulooms in the Johannesburg region. And the boys are being blackmailed. And then this person or the syndicate of people are so clever that they don't blackmail you directly. So they'll get pictures of you. They'll tell you, I'm going to expose you. So they already got pictures of someone else. So they'll say, do me a favor now. Message this person and tell him that you want money. One of the ways that they are working is that they are taking Takealot and Temu and Shein vouchers. So it doesn't go directly to their account, so you send them like 3,000, 5,000 rand, 2,000 rand vouchers, and they can shop with it. But they got you at leverage. They then got accounts running on, and we might know these social media platforms, but I'll mention them. There's platforms like X, there's platforms like Twitter, there's platforms like Snapchat, there's platforms like Grindr, there's platforms like WhatsApp, WhatsApp Business, Facebook, and the likes of it. These are all platforms that our Hifz boys and the students that are studying in the madrasa are well acquainted with. But they're going on it now and they're getting caught up in this web. We have had instances of youngsters that were on the brink of suicide. Instances of youngsters that have left madrasa, Darul Uloom and fled the country. They have left completely everything behind out of fear of what will my father, what will my mother do if this is to come out in the open. This is continuing and this is something that is happening. So it is playing one person against the next. So the first remedy to this problem is that you and I should safeguard ourselves. It is very difficult in today's zamana to tell a person that entirely stay away from the smartphone. But how can we regulate our usage of that smartphone? The latest statistics have shown approximately 68 to 72% of people text while driving. 89% of people utilize their smartphones in the bathroom. What are they doing with it in the bathroom? That's another question. Nevertheless, maybe they need some AI to assist them in how to make istinja, so we'll have good thoughts about them. And approximately 63% of people utilize their phones in the showers. The question then comes, why? When we had gotten through some people's phones and went through it, we had seen the man who today is sitting in front of you with Imama and studying the Deen of Allah is the same man who last night was taking nude pictures and sending it out. This is the halat and the condition we are facing. We recently sat with a case of a youngster, 8 years old, and his brother, 11 years old, both addicted to pornography and put onto pornography by their cousin who is a female who is 12 years old. Boys that are studying the Deen of Allah, who can read for you Quran back to front also. Such a level that they are caught up in this filth and dirt. The main introduction of the Leviathan order was to encapsulate not the minds and the hearts of the kuffar, but for the man who is sitting and studying the Deen of Allah, the man who has Quran in his heart, the man who has made his mind up to prepare himself that the month of Ramadan is coming, I will give up this guna. For him it is the test and the challenge. Then it comes to the intoxication perspective. In drugs itself, there was a man by the name of Maximilian de la Fayette. This man had written certain doctrines, and the purpose of the doctrines was to see how you can cast magic and sihr onto different drugs. There is a certain drug which is on the market, which had been formulated or founded in World War II. The drug which many of us may have heard of it is known as crystal meth. This drug is something that if you were to look at it, you will understand that that man has superhuman powers. Over 98% of the cases that we deal with and have dealt with have some affliction or affection by jinnat or by sihr through drug addiction. And because of this, so in World War II, Adolf Hitler had founded this drug. The purpose of finding this drug was to make sure that the men of his army would be numb towards emotion and would not sleep for nights on end. And they would carry out their duties. Today, we see a number of people where we respond. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we responded to a house call, an intervention, where a youngster pulled out a gun for his father. And he was claiming to be the Mahdi. And in his heart of hearts, he believes he is chosen for this cause. And everybody around him is the enemy. When we came, we understood that this man, one is the drug, but the other is the satanic possession that is taking him with it. And this is what is termed as the unimaginable pull in the world of addiction. Whether it be pornography, whether it be drugs, whether it be addiction to screen time, we may look at it in today's time, a fitna. The mother feels tired, and a plea and a cry to the parents. You may come home and feel that I am tired and I need to relax. But the way to relax is not to take the smartphone and put it into the hand of the child. Because I ask you the question, if you had a 9mm and it was one up, will you take that gun and put it in the hand of that 5-year-old or 6-year-old? Without a doubt, you will not do it. But when it comes to putting a weapon that will take the iman of that person, then wholeheartedly for our sukoon and our itminan, we will do it. This is a challenge that we are facing. The next question then comes, how do I come out of this? The most easiest and simplest solution. Hazrat Mullah Ilyas Sahib Damat Barakatuh mentioned that 4 things a person does is, if he does these 4 things, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala will make it easy for him to come out of that guna. Number one, gunaho se mubaadat. Azbabo ke gunaho se mubaadat. Ahlullah ke musahabat aur zikrullah ke mudawamat. If a person does these four things, he gives up the guna. He gives up the azbab or the means that will take him to that guna. He sits in the company of the Ahlullah and the friends of Allah. And he makes excessive dhikr. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will take him out of that fitna and that fils, and Allah will make him the beloved of Allah. But the question then comes, where do I start? A very simple solution we had found is, one is to build ta'alluq with someone that understands you and won't judge you. And one of our cries and our pleas is, as we go to the madaris in the Darul Ulooms, we mention to the students that establish some ta'alluq with your asatiza. You may not be able to speak to your father or your mother, but that ustad who is sitting in front of you, get one ustad who you know that I am able to open up to. Because these halat and these conditions that you are facing is something that that ustad who is hands on with you will be able to guide you out of it. But if you do feel uncomfortable, then Darul Islah offers this for you. An outlet for you to be able to vent and open up. We have had youngsters from Madaris and Darul Ulooms come forward who today are sitting on the board of answering mine and your fatawa, who are addicted to pornography and are homosexual. But in the beginning of their dars and starting their alim course and their hifz, they were unable to come out and speak about it. Today it is a problem when they are around the corner from having their dastarbandi tied, yet they are unable to come out of this addiction. It should not be that you and I look at these people and say that they will never come out. It must be the duty of you and I to see how every person can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. We will terminate on this inshallah. What it is that will bring the fikr in that heart? Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh should say that the fikr of the day is not complete without the fikr of the night. And likewise, the fikr of the night is not complete without the fikr of the day. As we are sitting here and hearing of these halat and conditions, my heart must pain, your heart must pain. And it must be such a pain that must become a burden on my shoulders. That how it is that the heart of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam must be paining. It must become my duty to make sure that I become a means to take the pain away from the heart of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if we make this our mission, then part of that mission would mean that my nights and my days must be spent in this fikr of how every person can come away from the disobedience of Allah into the obedience of Allah. Whilst we are here, we know of people, we may have heard of people. Instead of forming cliques and speaking about them, let us start taking out some time, spending time on the musalla, making special dua that Allah take them out of this guna. And lastly, no one in this path is safe. Today it can be me, tomorrow it can be you. The way to safeguard ourselves is to keep in the company of those people that will help us in this journey. You are fortunate that Allah has blessed you to be in a madrasa where you are studying the deen of Allah. Every day and every night is qala Allah, qala Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is that Hazrat Qari Siddiq Bahandwi rahmatullah alayhi mentioned. He was the principal and the founder of Darul Ulum Hatora. Madrasa, madrasa nahi hai. That a madrasa is not a madrasa abtak. Until that person will be spending his nights in tahajjud crying before Allah. The ulama of Dioban became the ulama of Dioban because every single one of them was sahib e nisbat. It should become the dictate of every person that what will create my nisbat with Allah is to break my nisbat with the smartphone. The day we break our nisbat with the smartphone, and we break our nisbat with AI and the technology of tomorrow, we will become the friends of Allah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guide every one of us. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala protect the ummah. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala safeguard us all. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala guide us to righteousness. Become happy with us. Remain happy with us. And let it be in a manner we leave this world that Allah is happy with us. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.